WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The suspect who turned himself in following the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is expected to be formally charged tomorrow. ABC's News legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer says Tyler Robinson could be facing federal hate crime charges.
You can't have a hate crime based on politics, but Charlie Kirk's religion and politics are sort of intertwined. I could see an argument for this being a motivated based on his religion and the mixture of his politics. The federal government could make a hate crime allowing for murder as well.
Kirk's funeral and memorial are set for Sunday in Phoenix. President Trump says he will attend. The president at the White House signing an executive order to deploy federal resources, including National Guard troops, to Memphis. He says to curb crime like he did in D.C. In San Francisco, a chef was arrested last week for allegedly robbing three banks on the same day. Authorities say 62-year-old Valentino Lucan is facing bank robbery charges for passing notes to bank tellers demanding money. This is ABC News.
92.7 WMDX, Madison's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. There's another candidate in the race for governor. Madison State Senator Kelda Royce is throwing her hat in the ring. Royce first entered Wisconsin politics more than 15 years ago. She served two terms in the Assembly and was elected to the State Senate in 2021. In office, she's championed women's health care rights, criminal justice reform, and fixing income inequality. In a campaign video released this morning, she focused on those issues.
In the Assembly, I helped 80,000 Wisconsinites finally get affordable health care. In the Senate, I worked with nurses to pass a bipartisan law repealing outdated regulations and expanding health care options for rural communities.
As a woman, I know what it's like to experience a physical examination, to go to a gynecologist's office. I know what that's like. And if you guys want to regulate this in this body, then you can stand here and listen to me speak about it.
Here's what Royce told Civic Media News Director Shali Pittman just after Governor Tony Evers announced he'd retire.
My whole goal is to think about what we can do to best serve Wisconsin. And that, to me, that means making sure that we elect Democrats up and down the ticket, because the stakes are just incredibly high. We have to protect our people from what the Republican regime is doing in Washington, and we have to help build a state where there's opportunity and fairness for everyone, no matter who you are or where you're from.
This is not her first time running for governor. Roy's first attempt was in 2018. So far, she's up against Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. That's on the Democratic side. Two Republicans have declared their candidacy, Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and businessman Bill Berrien. We've got 11 months until the primary next August, and the election is over a year away next November. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Pack is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers get ready now to play the Cleveland Browns. The Browns losing to the Ravens yesterday in Baltimore, 41-17. But Jordan Love will be without one of his best receivers, Jaden Reed, Matt LaFleur.
Unfortunately, he broke his collarbone, so he'll be down for quite some time. We'll see. Certainly, I would expect him back at some point this season, but obviously it's a big blow to us.
College football, the Badgers host Maryland next after losing in Alabama, 38-14 on Saturday. Luke Fickle.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow. And the truth of the matter is, I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Cardinals yesterday 3-2, but that's okay. The Crew, the first team in the major leagues this year to clinch a playoff spot.
It's been a joy for me to be around a group of guys that have taken this, that uncommon mindset, as serious as they've taken it.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 50s to 60. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. It's 82 right now.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we discuss the rise in death by suicide rates in Wisconsin and try to look into what the cause and the solution is. Also, the Brewers are back in action. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Madison and 92.7 WMDX, both weird in the best way.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday, everybody. We are back on the air after a long, grueling weekend where I was literally counting the minutes to be back on the air in this chair talking to all of you, our faithful listeners. It is great to have you with me tonight. Great show planned this evening. And I Con, are you here?
Yes.
There you are. All right, Conrad is here. Conrad is present. He did not take a powder. I have got a computer issue.
Uh-oh.
And my computer, like, the battery died or something. You might have to help me. Here's what we'll do. Be ready in case I ask you some pertinent information about tonight's show.
Okay.
I pretty much have it memorized. I'm just saying until my computer boots up.
Yeah. We can always go to the Google for anything.
We could go to the Google. We could...
Even your show plans. Just go to the Google, you know?
I know. I don't know. How do I do... Can I go to the Google on this big studio computer? I probably can at some point. All right, I guess I'll do that if it comes to it. But anyway, folks, great show tonight. Great to have you with me. It's kind of strange. I had kind of a weird weekend. I watched a lot of TV and it was gorgeous out this weekend. I finished the show Dexter. 8 seasons, folks. Pardon me, in about 6 weeks. So that is some record-breaking, that's a breakneck TV watching pace. And I enjoyed it. I thought the show ended well. I was so into that character. I started the follow-up, Dexter New Blood. So I'm watching that. I'm about 3 shows into that now. The show has taken over my life. And it's not even like, it's not as good as it was at the beginning. But it's still good. And I still want to see what happens because the writing is so good. I'm also watching the show Task. And I'm on season 1, episode 2. But that's how, they do that old school too. They drop 1 episode a week on HBO, which...
Lame.
I'll be honest, it's no fun. I know. So, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I watched football and then some more football.
Okay.
And then some more football.
I don't know how you do that.
I watched college on Saturday.
Okay.
I also watched Colorado lose on Friday, which was hilarious.
Why was that hilarious? Colorado? Because Deion?
Yeah, it's like he wants them to be so good, but they're just not.
They're not a good team, really.
No, they're terrible.
Oh, wow.
He did something risky this past week, and he started the third string over the first and the second.
He started the third string?
True freshman, yes. And I mean, to be fair, he didn't look terrible, but
Are any of his kids on the team?
Not anymore.
Not anymore? He's got 2, right? They both play college football?
Well, they both are. Well, Shiloh Sanders, he got cut from the Buccaneers.
Okay.
And Shadur is on the Browns as the 4th string.
Wow.
You okay over there?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're so far away now.
Sounds like I'm in a bucket. It sounds like that's what it's like when I call my parents. and they're in the car, and my mom will ask, hold on, honey, let me put you on so your dad can hear, and I can hear my mom perfectly, and then it sounds like they're both, like, in a cage 4 miles away or something. When they both.
Yeah, and then you just continue to say, what?
Yeah. What? I don't know what's going on. Fun show tonight, folks. Eric Westfall will be here. He is the WGBW afternoon host here in downtown Green Bay on 97.9 and does a great job. We had Eric on the show recently, but he's part of a new show, a new theater production opening in Abrams called The Play That Went Wrong. Now, again, I don't have my computer open, Conrad, so I'm going based on memory.
Yes.
How great of a memory do I have? The Play That Goes Wrong. It's a really funny premise. Everything goes wrong, and these actors are forced to improvise. Eric, in addition to being the on-air host here in the afternoon, is also a very fine actor. And we'll talk to him about this play. You have a couple opportunities to check it out. And Eric is, I assume, very good, and he's very funny off camera. So we'll talk to Eric. He will be in studio, Conrad. I don't know if you know that. So don't, we cannot lock the door.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And he's taking a certain quiz. I don't know if he's aware of.
Correct. I have not dropped that bomb on him.
He's going to be in for a surprise.
It's going to be fun. And then at 7:35, the coolest name in show business, Max Blaska, will be here. He's the founder of the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival in Madison, which takes place, I think it starts Wednesday. But we'll talk to Max. He's been on the show before. And speaking of film festivals, I was at the Green Bay Film Festival Saturday, and I saw we had a guest on the show last week, Wendy LaBelle, who made a film called The Anxiety Club. Actually, I think it's just Anxiety Club. And she had her screening Saturday night. There were people from the ATT Center there here in Green Bay, the Anxiety and Trauma Treatment Center. So we had this whole big panel after the show, and it was about the connection between comedians and anxiety. And it was a really fun movie. There were laughs. It was very, it was riveting, and it was fun. Oh, you got a picture up there. There you go. Look at how much higher. I felt so tall. It's on that end.
You're on some stilts right there.
I'm wearing, I know, if you cut the bottom out, it would just be their heads and then my entire top torso. But anyway, it was a really fun night. Wendy did a great job at the Q&A, as did everyone from the ATT Center, and had a nice crowd. They asked great questions. Check out the Green Bay Film Festival, folks, if you haven't already. They do a really nice job, and they do things differently. And the Tarleton Theater was beautiful. Have you been there, Conrad?
I haven't, but I've walked by it so many times, and even on the outside, it looks great. But that doesn't count.
I appreciate your effort to try to answer that question, even though the answer is really no.
I haven't been inside.
It's beautiful. I'm telling you, if there's an event there coming up, you got to check it out. It's a really cool event. And inside, it looks like a throwback. It looks like one of those kind of Catskills clubs with the tables and the candlelight and stuff like that. It was really nice. Really fun evening. So thank you to Nick Watier and Cindy, who ran things over there. It was a really fun night. And hey, you know what I think we got to do? I think we got to go to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, this one is a beauty, folks. It is National Double Cheeseburger Day. So the question here at Nightlight tonight is, what are your top three favorite hamburgers? I'm making you work. Don't just give me your favorite hamburger. What are your top three favorite hamburgers or cheeseburgers? They could be doubles, triples, quarter pound, third pound, half pounders, little McDonald's. You know, it's weird. The McDonald's hamburger basically now is a slider. You wouldn't even pass it off as a hamburger, like in a bar. Honestly, they're so small.
That's why you got to ask for a McTriple.
They don't have that. You could do that and probably freak out the help.
What about a McQuad stack? How about that?
Oh, I like. God, you were on the wrong line of work, buddy. We got our new marketing guy, Conrad Krieger, in here. So let us know, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What are your top three favorite hamburgers? And you can also text us on the app. Very easy to use. Check it out. Or if you're watching on the stream, drop us a stream comment. If you happen to be watching Nightlight on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, let us know. So what do you... Why don't you go first?
Well, yeah, so...
It's a tough one.
It's hard to say which place, I guess. You know, there is a great place in De Pere that makes excellent burgers. It's called Brick House. Brickhouse Craft Burgers and Brews. And I went there a couple
What's
weeks.
What's it called? Brickhouse?
Burgers and Brews.
Okay.
And I went there, I don't know, a couple weeks ago with one of my friends, and we both loved it. And I had a mushroom Swiss there. So I'd say mushroom Swiss for any place I go to is my top one.
I got to be honest, I've never gotten into the mushroom and Swiss, but people that love it, like, it's like they would die on a hill for it.
Yes. It is every place I go to, I'm like, if they don't have it, I'm like, well, maybe I'll get something else. I'll get like a chicken sandwich or something. But I'd say that and then a hangover burger.
Where is that again? Yeah.
There's a lot of places that make it. Okay. I'd say my favorite one was...
Like with the egg on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite one was at the Brat House in Milwaukee.
The hangover burger at the Brat House. Okay, I've never been there.
And then my last one would just be a bacon cheeseburger.
Straight
Simple,
up?
Simple, yeah.
Okay. All right, my top three, I'm going to go first, mostly because of memory, but also because it's got, it's so spectacular, and I'm fasting right now, and I'm getting hungry. Why do I always do this? I always have like a red meat question when I'm starving. I'll say Superdog in Chicago. There are only two locations, and it's a drive-up, and they have that real Chicago green relish on there, like they put on a Chicago dog, and mustard, and grilled onions, and it is spectacular. That's my number one. Number two, Al's in Green Bay, right down the street here. I ate there the other night while I was waiting to go over to the Tarleton at the Green Bay Film Festival, and it was only the third time I think I had eaten there. And they have this like jalapeno popper burger.
Oh
my God, is it? It is ridiculous.
Is it like they'd put like fried how do they make that?
There's no jalapenos. I think the jalapenos are in like a jalapeno mayo.
Oh, that sounds.
And then
sounds,
they've got like.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It was dynamite. It's one of those few times I finished the burger and I almost said, I'll have another. Which,
keep them coming.
anybody else or another round of jalapeno popper burgers over here? So that's my number two. And third is something you probably never heard of called Umami Burger. And there's a few of these around the U.S., but it's a tie between that and In-N-Out Burger, which I absolutely love too, which is a fast food burger, but it's that good.
You know, I've had In-N-Out and I don't think it's that spectacular.
The door is right over there. Don't let it hit you.
I think Culver's is better.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Culver's is good for a lot of stuff. Their burgers are fine.
That's that butter burger, you know?
But that's like a thing now. Everybody has that, right?
But they were they did it first.
I could put Mickey Lou's on there, too. The other reason I wanted to do this is because one of these days, in the near future, Paul Vandenplaas from Wonderfully Wisconsin has to come back on the show because he was compiling a list of 100 top, was it the top 100 or just 100 great burger places?
Yeah.
I've kind of forgotten now, but he was at Mickey Lou's and I met him there and I met his wife, Sarah. We had a good, nice little chat and then I let him get down to commence eating. But Mickey Lou's is good too. There's a lot of great, burgers out there, folks.
Yeah.
Share your top three with us and we will read your texts on the radio. It'll be fun. I'm trying to figure out what else. My computer is back up and running, by the way. I know what I'm going to do. We got a text. Last Friday morning from 4 to 6, they replay Nightlight from 4 to 6 a.m. And our pal, Bud from Janesville, texted us at an ungodly hour because he was out doing what he does, delivering papers. He's in the 608, and Amanda filled in Thursday night for Conrad. He said, "Hey, Pete and Amanda, since my last text made you want to vomit, I thought I'd keep the same theme going with a song I'd rather not hear in the grocery store." That was one of our questions last week.
Yep.
He said, "It's a B-side song that you haven't heard called The Bulimia Blues by the Wretched Vomers? I don't know what that is." He says, "Obviously, this is all tongue-in-cheek. Thank you, Bud. Or more literally, finger in throat."
Nice.
Anyway, like your show. Oh, he used to put love your show.
Oh,
now Bud is saying like your show.
Oh, he doesn't love it anymore.
Come on, Bud. You're better than that. We know you love us. Anyway, like your show, Bud from Janesville. P.S. If you don't think my texts are airworthy, then please don't read them. After all, it's your show. I was just trying to be funny. You were, Bud. That was very well done. I enjoy all of Bud's texts. They're great. Great stuff. And I love that that we can keep him company when he's up very early doing what he does. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a really bad experience I had with fried fish. And that was last Friday. When we're coming back, we'll read your responses. Eric Westfall is here at 6:35 to talk about really bad theater. You won't want to miss that, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My Lord. Oh, my Lord. I really want to know you. I really want to go with you.
The Isthmus. It's not a lisp. It's where we live. WMDX.
Herbal Aspect has landed. That's right. Madison's go-to cannabis destination now has a brand new location in Sun Prairie.
Wait, four locations? That's a high level of convenience.
With three Madison locations and now Sun Prairie, a great cannabis experience is always close by. Our expert staff is here to help, whether you walk in, call, or order online. Mention Radio 420 and get a special discount. So stop by Herbal Aspect in Sun Prairie, because great cannabis isn't just a pipe dream.
Nice. I'm rolling over now.
Herbal Aspect.
Lace up your sneakers, Wisconsin. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is coming to Madison on October 5th. Walk with WMDX in honor of someone you love and help us move closer to a cure. Registration is free and easy. Start or join a team today at alz.org/walk.
Snooze, you lose out on 50% off of all items in store for Verlo Mattress's moving sale. Available only at the East Washington location and only for the month of September. Check out these once-in-a-blue-moon deals. American-made, locally crafted, Verlo.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
That's cool tonight. Share a spark tonight. And a spark tonight. We're gonna groove.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. It is a Monday night, folks. The start of a new week, new beginnings. So much potential ahead of all of us as we kick off the week here from downtown Green Bay and broadcast live statewide. So wherever you're joining us from, welcome, and it is great to have you. Eric Westfall is in the building, Conrad. Did you notice that?
I think I saw him passing.
Yeah, he's here, so there will be no bailing guest tonight. Our question of the night, folks, is what are your top three burger places? It is National Double Cheeseburger Day. I know we've done a hamburger question in the past, but I kind of feel like it's more fun to rank them. So I said Superdog, a little place in Chicago. I said Al's in downtown Green Bay, that little hole in the wall right down the street that is gorgeous and right next to the Meyer Theater. I ate there the other day for only the third time, and I realized I just told Conrad I almost ordered another burger after I was done with my jalapeno popper.
Another round. Burger.
Good stuff. Another round of tuna melts. So that was those are my top two, and then Umami Burger is tied kind of with In-N-Out. I don't know if you noticed this. I just realized this. I have something from all three areas where I've lived.
Yeah.
Not by design.
Well, yeah.
There's a place in Marinette, too, called the Rail House. They have a great, it's called the Whistleblower Burger, and they pack it with jalapenos, also dynamite stuff. So what were your three again?
So mine was Brick House, Kraft, Burgers, and Brews, which, I mean, their menu is awesome. Like, you just look at it, and you're like, I don't even know what to pick because there's so many burgers to choose from.
Right. And that's overwhelming.
I would say the Brathouse in Milwaukee, and then a bacon cheeseburger, but like if I'd get it from anywhere, and it's just a simple one, probably Culver's.
Okay. Culver's has a good, what is it, the Culver's Deluxe?
Yeah.
That's a good burger. Oh, got a little mayo on there.
Their mushroom Swiss, double mushroom Swiss is really good.
That's outstanding. All right, let us know what your top three favorite hamburgers are, folks. You can do that at 855-752-4842. I have to say, okay, so I was off Friday night. I went to a fish fry. I don't go to many fish fries because I'm typically working on Friday nights, but I went to one about a month ago when I had a Friday off. I took a couple days vacation. And I went again. It was my wife's birthday on Friday. And she's like, well, let's go to a fish fry. So we went to the Little River Country Club in Maryland. Mm. Lovely little establishment. Friends of ours own it. The Dries family. Adam Dries. Great stuff. And I got a fish fry. And it was good. The food was really good. And they have a great salad bar. Like, I really kind of, it was one of those things where I kind of didn't eat much all day because I was so excited to go there. But I have to say, as much as I crave a fish fry, when I'm done, I feel like I don't want to eat fish again for 3 years. And I hate to say that because my problem is I typically overdo it. I don't ever eat fish fries. So when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch. I ate everything on my plate and I felt like I wanted to die. And it was delicious. The food was great. But now I've had two fish fries in a month and now I'm done for a while.
See, this is the, I know it's kind of like, it's a staple to get breaded fish.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just get nothing, if you don't get the bread on it, you
pan
can eat
fried.
That. You know, you can you can kind of get away with eating more because it is dense. You know.
But what am I? You can get away with eating more. I was like, I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal. And my parents were there, and my in-laws, and it was like, I just, it was really good, but I just overdo it, and now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever. Now I can eat a piece of salmon. That's cooked healthy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But it's the fish fry. I have such a love-hate with the fish fry because I love it.
You know, perch is just so good. It's hard to, like, when you taste it, it's hard to be like, all right, I'm done.
And that's the first time I ordered perch in years. Like, I had made the switch to walleye from perch.
Yeah, I mean, walleye's great, too.
And I had walleye at Little River a month ago. Really good, too. I don't know. Anyway, that's where I'm at on fish fries. All right, we got a phone call?
Ollie from the North Woods.
Oh, Ollie. We haven't heard from Ollie in a while. I was starting to worry. Hi, Ollie.
Well, you know, if you get a food one, I can answer that.
Yes, that's
ones,
true.
I'm not so into.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you my three favorite places for burgers.
Please.
are Ollie's Place, and she serves a mean hamburger with fried onions.
Mm.
Lots of pickles and mustard, and then Ollie's Cabin, and she serves awesome, super duper double thick hamburger with lots of extra thick bacon.
Oh my gosh!
And then Ollie's Kitchen, she serves an awesome pizza burger where she takes 2 quarter pounders. And smashes them, and then in the middle she puts lots of mozzarella and some olives, and then she puts those together and fries it and tops it off with marinara sauce. Yum, yum.
Wow. Ollie, those are great. I couldn't help notice you share a name with all of the burger makers there that you just listed.
Yeah, she's pretty famous.
All right, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Ollie. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
How awesome would it have been if that was just a coincidence and it was not her and she was not related to any of them. It just happened to be 3 Ollie burger makers.
It's like she saw Ollie's in the name. She's like, well, we have to stop there.
We got to stop there. That's very, I would do that. Schwabba's Burgers. Absolutely.
I don't know if that will ever happen.
Dave on the stream says Chips, Culver's, Red Robin. So Dave went all Fran. Wait, what is Chips?
I haven't heard of that.
Dave, fill us in, man. Chips, Culver's, and Red Robin is good. I forgot about Red Robin.
Yeah, I like Red Robin.
And, of course, everybody loves Culver's, and I'm no different. Awesome stuff. Let us know where your top 3 burgers come from. We will read your texts throughout the show. Coming up next, my pal Eric Westfall is here. He is the WGBW afternoon host. And he is also in a very funny play that happens, I believe, this weekend. So we'll get all the details coming up next with our pal Eric. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. And so great to have you here on this Monday, folks. I was feeling all right, I'm with my boys, I'm with my troops, yeah. I'm down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella gold.
92.7 WMDX, Madison, living side by side with Sandhill Cranes.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Metro Transit drivers now have a contract. They've been working without one all year. The city announced a deal that includes 3% yearly raises and a one-time bonus to keep up with inflation. It also includes increased collaboration with the union over work conditions and ensuring every driver has access to PPE. Plus, city officials say they'll build off of recent efforts to ensure safe work environments. This comes at a time when we've seen an increase in attacks on Metro Transit drivers. There have been at least five of them in 2025. About 400 drivers and mechanics are represented by Teamsters 120, and they overwhelmingly approve this new contract. 95% of members voted yes. Union leaders called it a hard-won victory, saying this is the best contract in decades. And lawmakers are trying to ensure more Wisconsinites get Packers games on cable. Lisa Hale reports.
A couple of Wisconsin lawmakers from opposite sides of the political divide have come together for a cause close to the hearts of Wisconsinites, the Green Bay Packers. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Congressman Tony Weed have introduced the Go Pack Go Act, designed to allow Packers fans in Wisconsin, no matter where they live, to watch the Pack play on television. Over 400,000 people living in Wisconsin counties are considered either a part of Minnesota or Michigan television markets. So they end up watching either the Lions or the Vikings games instead of the Packers if the games are scheduled at the same time. The Go Pack Go Act would require cable and satellite companies to give Wisconsin subscribers access to games from a Wisconsin market.
This is the third time Baldwin has introduced this bill. The other two times, it didn't go anywhere. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Superman and Lex Luthor teaming up together? What is this world coming to? Before you know it, cats and dogs will be living together. Variety has announced that the sequel for this summer's hit Superman is in motion. If you thought the first one was a spectacle, the follow-up promises an even bigger nemesis will face off against the unlikely duo. James Gunn's Superman, starring David Corenswet, made $613 million worldwide and was a big first swing for the DC Universe, a company where Gunn currently serves as co-CEO. James Gunn says the sequel will be as much a Lex Luthor film as it will be a Superman film. The director says he loved working with Nicholas Holt, who played Luthor, and really identified with the Luthor character. Yikes. A couple other tidbits from Gunn's Superman world. The director says Supergirl, starring Millie Alcock, is on the schedule to be released in 2026. Superman, A Man of Tomorrow, will start filming in 2026 and be released in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 50s to 60. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. Right now it's 80.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Tuesday morning, we'll talk to Gary Albrecht. He's a cancer survivor, and he'll tell us about the Badger Challenge Run. And Lisa Bernard will be here with a few more pets to adopt.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba. I was just reading part of Monica's text. I don't know if you read that.
We'll
get to those in a little while. She's a very sassy person. That's all I'll say. But I'm excited. We'll read your text in just a little bit. But our question of the night, what are your top three favorite burgers? It is National Double Cheeseburger Day. I love that they don't just have a National Cheeseburger Day. It's National Double Cheeseburger Day. So it's very specific, but we're having fun with it. Let us know. You can drop us a stream comment if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or X, or at 855-752-4842, the old school text line, or you can drop us an app comment. Anyway, to get a hold of us, just please do, and we will read your text on the radio. This is exciting, folks. We have some new on-air members here at WGBW. We are in downtown Green Bay, as you know. That's where we broadcast from. And during the day, in the morning, you can hear Dan Marcus. Great job, radio legend. Laura McKenna, and our afternoon host is with me here in studio now. His name is Eric Westfall. He's also an actor, and he's here live in person, which there's no other way to do it for a theater actor, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Again, nice to be on the other side of the glass. I hope the chair wasn't too warm in there.
It was.
When you sat down.
Yeah. Just a little too warm.
It's a warm day today. Sometimes I don't.
Wow, that is really awkward, isn't it? Sharing it. It makes me think of the Simpsons line when Smithers referred to Homer Simpson when he was talking to Mr. Burns. He said, "Oh, that's Homer Simpson, sir. One of your chair moisteners from Sector 7G.
That's so horrible.
How you been? You were here a few weeks ago.
Yep.
We had a kind of a how do you do, and now I feel like we're friends. So how are things going here at WGBW?
Good. Yeah, we've been at this, I think, like a month and a half. And, you know, my code to get in and everything still works, so... I think I must be doing pretty good.
Get free coffee. Yeah. You haven't stolen anything out of petty cash yet.
No.
Do we have petty cash here?
Not that they've told me. There have been donuts in here a number of days, though. So unfortunately, I'm probably eating more of those than I'd care to. But
you want snacks that will make you unhealthy? Become a teacher. My wife said all she gets like in the break room there is donuts and candy and like. It's like they want teachers to crash, have like a mental breakdown at like 1 p.m. or something. So it's not as bad here, but, you know, it's nice to have donuts laying around. So, all right, let's talk about this. You're also an actor, Eric, so I want to talk about, I love this play. This looks so much fun. It's called The Play That Goes Wrong. So, and you spell wrong, just in case people didn't understand the title as it was. You want to know
the backwards G there, so you know something's wrong.
There's going to be hijinks. So hold that up to the stream. If those of you watching on the stream, here's the play poster. The play that goes wrong. I love it. Tell us all about this, this show.
So the show, and we did actually do it back in May, and it went over so well that they decided to bring it back for this. So that's why it says on the top, The Encore. Because... one of the characters in the play is actually the set. It's an engineering marvel because it's designed every single show to basically by the end to be destroyed.
Oh, wow.
But obviously, you know, we got to do another show. So it's also got to be designed to be put back together again pretty easily.
Right.
And everything has to be safe so that, you know, actors
don't hurt themselves,
breaking limbs and things. So, yeah. because of this this feat of wonder here, this engineering marvel that they've constructed, they realized that their next show is until a little bit later. So they kind of reached out to all of us actors at the end of the run in May and said, hey, you know, if we could get this together in September, would you want to do another weekend? And we were able to work it out. So it's this coming weekend. And yeah, it is just, we've been now had some rehearsals again because, you know, you don't do something for a while. And I did some other plays in there. I did Shakespeare and everything else. So I, the show was a little bit out of my head for a while.
You just dropped a Shakespeare bomb in there. So there you go, folks. Not only does he do kind of a screwball comedy, Shakespeare, that's impressive.
That's right. I was Polonius in Hamlet this summer. Yes.
All right, we'll get into that too, but keep going with the play that goes wrong. This
is
great.
So, you know, we were getting back into it. We had costumes on Friday night, although I forgot to bring my dress shoes, so I was wearing my butler's tuxedo and then my sandals, which was an interesting
look. That would have made an interesting amazing look. Photo through the window if you had that costume.
Yeah. You know, to get all the physical stuff back again, and, you know, there's a lot of stage combat and everything, really.
Oh,
there's,
nice.
There's the two female actors. They get in a fight over the character, and it's just really everything that could go wrong does. And the comedy comes because we aren't, like, you know, being all zany. We are an acting troupe trying in earnest to put on this 1920s murder mystery. And, of course, when all this stuff happens, there's us reacting and the decisions that we make. And some of those decisions are bad. Some of the decisions are good. But they all kind of come together and to create this wonderful chaos.
That's so great. I mean, I always laugh because, like who – these aren't the writer. Is this like a show you have to license or was it written locally?
No, this is – this has been on Broadway. It ended – I believe these are all English gentlemen that wrote it. So it originated on the West End in London, and then it's been on Broadway, and it's been there is even a junior edition or a high school edition you can do it. It's things don't get quite as destructive because obviously when you're dealing with the kids, safety is even more paramount. It's a very well done show. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it has won, you know, I don't know if it's won Tonys, but maybe on the break I'll Google that. Somebody can feel free to Google that if they want.
Conrad. So, all right, that's great. So the Abrams Theater, Abrams Spotlight Productions, when you put a show on like this, are you ever nervous? Like, is it expensive to license stuff like this, material that you didn't write? That, let's say it did win a Tony or it's been on Broadway.
A play is not as expensive as a musical. Musicals are what are expensive, and some, you know, more so than others. That's generally why when you go to see a show, a musical will cost you more money to see as an audience member than a play. So it's not terrible. I don't know what they are. Obviously, something newer is probably a little more expensive than something particularly old. And if it's old enough, you don't have to pay at all.
Yeah.
But
this guy could have been waiting by the phone.
Yeah.
We got one.
I think they're making pretty good money. Okay. I would be surprised if they were if they weren't eating some of the best burgers in town, whatever town they're in. So
I can't believe I didn't lead off with that. All right, I'll get back to the burger question because you're a local guy. We got to talk to you about that. But give us an idea of a gag. Like you talked about, the set gets destructed a little bit, but is there a lot of physical comedy or is it mostly joking?
There is, you know, in my character as the butler. So Perkins, the butler, and this little mustache that I'm growing here is my butler mustache. So I'll have to shave my chin off. But so that's, I'm working on that.
You're walking into a porn gig right after this. So that works out really well. Actually,
so it's my little butler mustache. So it's the Cornley Drama Society is what our little imaginary group is. And my actor, I'm actually Dennis, and he's kind of new to the theater troupe, and he's nervous about his first time, and he's having trouble with his lines. So I actually have some words written on my hands to try and, but of course I start out wearing gloves, butler gloves.
Right.
At one point I'm like, you know, trying to remember it, and I realize it's on my hand, and I'm looking down and trying to, you know, be very nonchalant about it. But there is a number of physical stuff with my character in gags too. And then we have one point where I keep forgetting what the next line is. So we go in this loop And everybody else is like trying to, you know, and part of that loop is they have to take a drink each time, which you'll see why that's problematic, because something has happened to the liquid, which is, you know, just supposed to be water.
Oh, nice.
And it's not anymore. Well, it really is, but, you know, theater of the mind, you will not think it's water.
So, all right. So Abraham Spotlight Productions, it's in Abrams.
Yes.
The play. And like, I think we talked about last time, I've never like stopped at Abrams to check it out, but there's a little city there. They have a nice theater.
Yeah. So it's a former church.
Okay.
It's called the Nancy Bing Community Theater.
Oh.
And the address, 5852 Maple Street. So there's not a lot of different streets in, in Abrams. But yes, there are still some tickets available.
Okay.
You know, one of the shows is on a Sunday during when there's also a Green Bay game. So, that might be, you know, if you're not into football at all, that might be the best
freebies.
That might be the best one.
What's the capacity?
I know that we last time added chairs to what they had. So it is over 100. It's like maybe 120.
I have to think there are at least 120 non-Packer fans in this town.
The
problem with Green Bay is, even though people aren't football fans, they're still Packer fans and they watch the games because it's an event, right? But this does give you another option on Sunday.
Indeed.
And you've got two opportunities, the 19th and the 20th. Friday, Saturday, I assume, where you can check this out. Visit abramstheater.com or call 920-826-5852. We should have done a giveaway tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have that authority?
I did give some away on my show last week.
And, okay.
Oh, congratulations to Priscilla from DePere and Tammy from Appleton,
who were the winners.
The winners. They each won a pair of tickets.
And that's not like, nothing gets me more excited than seeing a show in a theater about that size. Because even in Marinette, I was telling you, the Theater on the Bay holds like, I don't know, 300 people, but it's a part of a college too. But this, I mean, 100 seats is incredible.
Yeah, so it's a very intimate feel, and they have you can also they have a liquor license there, so you can buy can drink a beer or have a glass of wine or hard seltzer while you're watching the show, which
but you can't sneak booze in, right?
Well, they would probably frown upon that. Yes,
expect to be frisked when you walk in. All right, so we talked about tickets. How involved are you with the Abrams Theater?
This is actually the first time I've done it. And it's interesting because there's only one person in the cast who's actually from Abrams. All the rest, most of us are from Green Bay, including the director, Mike Esserkahn, who is also involved with running a Comedy City in DePere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there's a couple other Comedy City people involved in the show. Yeah.
Is Nick Wallander one of them?
No.
Okay.
But a good guy, yeah. And then there's a couple people. We have one guy from Peshtigo who's in it, and he's actually, he has an MFA.
What's his name?
It is Chris
Maisie.
Yes.
It has to be him.
Yep, that's it.
Because he does dinner theater stuff here. Chris has been on the show.
Oh,
he's coming
detective.
Back soon. I was like, there cannot be another theater actor in Peshtigo. It's only like 3,000 people, but... that's a good guess. All right, cool. So I also noticed that the Abrams Theater has some kind of Halloween thing going on. I was going to ask you about, but if you're only in this show and not like part of the board
or
anything.
I don't know, unfortunately.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about Shakespeare when you come back or your training?
I can talk about whatever you like.
I love this stuff, man. This is great. And I'll probably ask you who your influences were too, because I know you went to Lawrence. Mm-hmm. You're a theater guy. You got it in your blood. So we'll talk a little bit about Shakespeare too. And we have a quiz, folks. Those of you who are just tuning in, I don't know if we tease this con or not, but Eric is going to take our Green Bay quiz. And we are famous for our quizzes here at Nightlight. We have an assortment of quizzes. So if you don't like this one, Eric, we have another one we can give you. But this is our Green Bay one.
Well,
and we've thrown a couple
best.
Theater questions in there, too, which will be fun. So we'll do that. And I think I should read Monica's text right now and get this out of the way, because Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, your question sucks, Schwabba. That's just so bold. Like, I don't have to read this text, but I love Monica. She says, just funny with you. I'm a vegetarian, so I'm going to say the Impossible Burger. Love Impossible. Good choice. Morningstar Farms and then Culver's Veggie Burger. I tried to have a Curder Veggie Burger one time at Culver's, but I was told they come already assembled, frozen with a curd blob already on it. On an unrelated note, the Roses didn't get that great of reviews, but I thought it was hysterical. And all the actors were great. We'll talk about that, too, with our guest, Eric Westfall. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The American Bar Association has issued a final report and recommendations from its ABA Task Force for American Democracy. The report calls for major reform to elections, civics education, and the role of lawyers in defending constitutional governance. The project was chaired by former U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson, a Democrat, and former U.S. Federal Judge J. Michael Luttig, a Republican. Among several reforms, the report calls for substantial state and federal investments in K-12 civics education. It recommends establishing citizen-led independent redistricting commissions to reduce the partisan and racial gerrymandering unfolding right now in Texas and other states. It encourages states to adopt open primaries, ranked choice voting, or fusion voting to reduce polarization and increase accountability. The report also calls for expanding automatic and same-day registration, standardizing early and mail voting procedures, and an election day holiday. For election workers, the report calls for depoliticizing selection of election officials and setting professional standards and codes of responsibility. It also calls for stronger protections of those workers and the funding to support it. For lawyers, ABA recommends more law school training and continuing ed on election law and affirming lawyers' responsibility to uphold the rule of law. We've linked the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Looking to strengthen the bond with your pup? Dane County Humane Society offers a variety of dog training classes led by certified trainers. Classes are designed to help you and your furry friend learn new skills, improve behavior, and deepen your connection. Whether your dog is a curious puppy, an independent teenager, or a lifelong learner, DCHS has the tools and expertise to help you set the stage for a successful year ahead. Visit giveshelter.org/dogtraining to register today.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on a Monday night version. This is, in some ways, my favorite night to do the show because the weekend is finally over and all the awful weekend activities are done and we just get to talk about the things we love. And our question tonight is, what are your top three favorite burgers? That is the Nightlight question of the night. Let us know and we will read your text on the radio. We just talked about Monica's text. She's a vegetarian. I never thought of that. Have you ever had Impossible?
No.
I've had it like a Chipotle. And I've had a couple Impossible burgers. Pretty good. And honestly, like, meat doesn't taste good on its own. You got to put something on it.
Yeah.
But Impossible on its own, it's probably packed with salt, but it's pretty decent. Monica also says she saw The Roses, which I have not seen yet. I know it's a remake of The War of the Roses, but we can, if anyone else agrees with Monica, let us know. Or if you disagree, that's fine too. But it'll get a discussion going. Eric Westfall is here in studio. He's the afternoon host here at WGBW. Playing the oldies, and he's also an actor, and his show this weekend is called The Play That Goes Wrong. You can see it at the Abrams Theater September 19th and 20th at 7 p.m. or Sunday at, is it 2?
Sunday, 1 p.m.
So there is a Packer game, but the Packers are going to win anyway. You don't need to waste
They're playing Cleveland. I mean, come on.
Conrad, is that an easy win?
I don't want to say anything, you know. No drinks is here.
Okay. So you could, but there are tickets available. Check it out. It sounds like a really quaint, nice little 100-seat theater, and there is nothing like live theater, especially comedy. Do you find, like, when you do a comedy, Eric, this almost kind of bothers me, because sometimes I used to, when I would audition someone, and they knew it was a comedy, they'd try to be funny, and there's nothing worse than someone not relying on the material.
Yeah.
Right? Do you have actors that do that sometimes? You have to reel them back a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody wants to, you know, make their choices and things like that, and good comedic choices. I mean, some people naturally have a little better time, comedic time, sure, than others, but it is something that it doesn't just happen. You hone it through experience and doing it and that. And I mean, you know, I've still every now and then make choices that I'm like, oh, I don't know if that was the best, but you know, the audience is the true, if they react to something, you know, you've done it successful.
Audience doesn't lie. you talked about, all right, so this is a comedy, the play that goes wrong. You talked about the fact that you've done Shakespeare, which I would imagine is very challenging, even for someone who is a trained actor like yourself. What is your favorite thing to do on stage, genre-wise?
You know, I will say, I won't say a style. My favorite thing is to be able to change what, so to have an accent. So if I could do a show where an accent, one of the coolest things I did was a show called Sordid Lives. And I got to not only have an accent, it was a Southern accent. I was G.W. Nethercott. and not only did I have that, but he was also, had an, his legs had been in an accident, cut off below the knee. So I had an affectation. I had to, you know, we kind of bandaged up and everything, and he was supposed to have, you know, false legs. So trying to walk would be normal. And so, you know, different than normal, obviously, with that affectation. So when I can do those types of things, whether it's comedy or drama or, you know, a classic play or a new play, I like
something
to be able
different.
To,
like, that is a challenge. Yeah, that's
yeah.
A great
I like to be challenged a little bit.
Where do you do Shakespeare? And if there are people that are fans of Shakespeare listening right now, where can they see Shakespeare in Northeast Wisconsin?
Every summer here in Green Bay.
All right.
As a matter of fact, Theater in the Park is every year in June at Whitney Park. It's Play by Play Theater is the theater company. And they, their director, Carolyn Silverberg, she's got a master's in Shakespeare studies. So she knows her stuff. She went to London and studied. So she knows a few things and does her own adaptation. So we cut it down. You know, Shakespeare's very long. Like we did Hamlet this summer. That's like a 4-hour play. Obviously, people aren't coming out. We're not making them sit outside in the park for 4 hours. So she cuts it down to about 90 minutes. Which is, you know, a lot more digestible. And she's been rotating between a drama and a comedy. And this is about I think we started right before the pandemic. So 2019 was the first year. And then obviously we had to stop for there. But
you said you had a great turnout last time you were here, too, if I remember correctly.
Yes. It always, you know, it's free. So, and it gives people a chance to come and check things. Then they bring, you know, we usually have food trucks and stuff like that. And three performances throughout the summer. So she's kind of settled into that. There's one that's at Heritage Hill each year in the Moravian Church there, which is a completely different thing for us to go from outside where we're projecting in a giant park to this little echoey church. And then the third show has been over at Titletown over by Lambeau.
Nice. You said you went to Lawrence. My cousin Brian Murphy went to Lawrence too, loved it. He wasn't in theater, but I've heard nothing but great stuff. Is that a good place to train, in your opinion?
I mean, you know, I thought it was very good. I enjoyed my instructor. Obviously, I'm old, so he's no longer with us. But the program since I was there has expanded. And there's, I mean, Tim Troy, one of the main guys there, I mean, he's a working professional too. So, I mean, I think that's important in something like that where, you know, you also have working professionals. I think in music and art, theater, I think that's important.
Fantastic. Eric Westfall is my guest, folks. He is in the show The Play That Goes Wrong. It is this weekend in Abrams. He's also going to take our Green Bay quiz, our nightlight Green Bay quiz, we've put some addendums on there. We added a few theater questions. So we'll do that after intermission here when we come back for Act Two. Do you have a top three burger list you can share with us?
Well, I'll give you one.
All right. You going to think it over the news? Sure. All right. We'll do that. And we'll do all that with Eric. And then Max Blaska is here. Coolest name in show business. Come on, Conrad. Have you heard a better name than Max Blaska?
Peach Wabba.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, too. I don't have that. It's not. My name is the farthest thing from badassery, though. Max Blaska is a guy you don't want to mess with. Right?
Yeah, it's the Max.
And Eric Westfall. That sounds like an old kind of English. You sound like a proper gent. You know? I'm not saying you're not a badass. I'm just saying. All right. We are going to do intermission and come back for Act Two. Max is here at 7:35. We're going to keep Eric for a few minutes and give him our Green Bay quiz. That's all coming up after intermission here. And our question of the night, what are your top three favorite burgers? It is National Double Cheeseburger, folks. Cheeseburger Day, folks. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Stuck in no man's land.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Federal and local officials expected to bring criminal charges forward against Charlie Kirk's alleged shooter. ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
The Utah County District Attorney saying they are working around the clock to sort through evidence and file charges against the suspect, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, in the death of Charlie Kirk. There's a deadline to file state charges by tomorrow.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was asked today about last week's incident when a suspect allegedly dragged an ICE agent with his car during an ICE traffic stop in the Chicago suburb of Franklin Park. The ICE agent is recovering from his injuries and the suspect is dead. The governor says there has been no transparency from ICE about the incident.
If this were the Chicago Police Department, if this were the Sheriff's Office in Cook County, if this were Illinois State Police, you would have had a lot more information already released. But apparently ICE is unwilling to provide the transparency that I think the